Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is White Toilets. And I'll tell you where this is coming from today. This is a very mysterious thing to me, not because the device doesn't work when it works. It's just, why are toilets white? Pasteur's marvelous disinfectant, quote unquote, was touted as a germ killer over the protests of the American Public Health Association. Listerine took its name from surgeon Joseph Lister, although it had nothing to do with the early pioneer in sterile surgical techniques. As a matter of fact, in 1977, the company was forced by the Federal Trade Commission to drop its age-old slogan, quote, kills germs on contact. After James Garfield's failure to recover from an assassin's bullet was attributed to deadly, quote-unquote, sewer gas, ambitious engineers and plumbers following George E. Waring's renovation of the White House set to work reimagining the American bathroom, a phenomenon Tomes refers to as, quote, the triumph of the white China toilet. Let me read you a few other things I found. Now listen to this one specifically. It's kind of on a blog about this. Believe it or not, there are blogs about this. Talking about why they are white. It says, however, what's even easier is this. Clean your toilet bowl really well. Keep a toilet bowl brush in a container with a little water and a little liquid soap of some kind, and just give it a real quick scrub once a day in the morning. Then you will never have to do any more of that real scrubbing. Now, if you haven't figured out where I'm going yet, let me read this again. Keep a toilet bowl brush in a container with a little water, a little liquid soap of some kind, and just give it a real quick scrub once a day in the morning. Then you will never have to do any more of that real scrubbing. Let's start with 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and then we'll do a little bit in 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, let's jump in at verse 11. One good thing about reading about these cities back in the time the Bible was written, Corinth was a city. If you look at Dallas and Fort Worth, Athens is kind of like a Dallas, and Corinth would be like the Fort Worth in distance, or about that far apart, kind of. And Corinth is on the coast. There was a temple. All the sailors that would sail into Corinth would look up and see this temple. It was lit up on this hill. And basically, the temple had about 1,000 priestesses, which basically, to go worship, these sailors were excited to go to church because at this particular temple, the way you worshiped was to make a donation and have sex with one of the priestesses, the goddess of love. So they, you know, they obviously could attract a crowd of a certain kind. So you have not Jewish people, you have pagan people who don't know jack about Jesus, really don't maybe even care about God. They're just living, doing whatever they want to do. And the gospel shows up, invades their community, invades their lives individually along the way. And all of a sudden, everything gets turned inside out. And what you were doing, the Holy Spirit, the scriptures, the apostles, everybody who's coming around you saying, that doesn't work. Now, the reason you can't say to people, stop doing these things that you're doing that don't work, isn't if you tell them to stop doing the things that they're doing, but you don't have Jesus as part of the equation, it will never work. It's hard enough with Jesus. So if you're out there wagging your finger, telling people they're immoral, they're doing all these things that are wrong, it is preposterous. It's like getting a dog to quack or something. It's just not going to happen. It's not in them. Now, once Jesus is inserted into somebody's life, you accept Christ into your life, things start to change and your desires start to change. I had a guy come by my office recently and he straight up told me, he said, I have avoided coming by here to see you. And I used to kind of get upset and take it personally, and I know why that is. I, for some reason, and I think I know the reason, and this should be the same with you, by the way, if you are salt and light, especially being light, you represent something, and if darkness approaches light, it is exposed. And things that people are hiding or feel bad about, they don't want to be around you, but it's not the you in you, it's the him in you. So you say, well, why is that person being mean? They're not being mean to you, they're being mean to Jesus. Now, if you're just being mean, you may be part of that. So this guy comes in, we get to talking, he's having some relationship issues, and he's in a relationship, talked through that, and I just straight up looked at him, I said, you know, he's not married to this girl. I said, are you sleeping with her? He said, yeah. And I said, well, I think there's part of your problem. And he said this, I don't have a conviction about that. So I said, okay, I see that. That may not be your conviction. I said, but the truth is the truth, whether you have a conviction about it or not. Now, I don't really want to get up here and have you look in my toilet because I'm a human being and I got struggles. When you speak the truth and you take a stand for the truth, and we'll read the verses, it doesn't mean you're all that. You have to make decisions based on convictions about the truth and then move forward. And it's a process, and there is no one that is listening to this message that is exempt from process. None of us. I have not, you have not arrived. So be very patient with people who are in process, because you're going to want them to be patient with you. Can I read these verses with me? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, jump in at verse 11. He says, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be, he's like, you know, we're open with you, then be open. Think about what we're saying. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial, this God, or false God? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. And he's quoting the Old Testament. Therefore, he quotes again, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Then go 7:1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The Bible talks about this thing about being holy. It means to be separate, to set apart. You're not the same as. It doesn't make you better than anybody. It just means there should be a difference. And here's what the white toilet thing is about. It frustrates me to no end. The house I live in now has 2 black toilets and 1 white toilet. I'm thinking, I'd never had a black toilet. I'm like, this is brilliant. Because you kind of get around that toilet and you go, is it clean? Is it not clean? Oh, I don't know. If you start out, you know, I know this makes people very nervous. If you start out with a black toilet, you know, who knows whether it's clean or not? You can get away with a whole lot of stuff with a black toilet. You can't get away with much with a white toilet because it's right there. And you got to clean it if you don't want it right there. I'll leave it at that. So here's where I'm going with the holy thing. So God goes, all right, now you're my child. Guess what? Holy. White toilet. Just like that. You are clean. And now every time the world dumps something on you, I was trying to figure out how to wisely get that word in there. I think that was a good use of the word in another sentence. You know, some of it you can flush out, but some of it, you know. I'm trying to put things in terms we all understand. I think we're getting somewhere. So God goes, white toilet, what's that? I don't know, what are you talking about? I'll fix that. I'll cover it up. Does that mean it's gone? No. So what do you do? God says, that's my white toilet right there. What'd you do to my toilet? I want a clean toilet. I want a separate, holy, completely different toilet. Fix it. I don't want to fix it. I like my stuff. I don't want to mess with that. He says, you got to deal with it. It's filth. It's not what I intended. I want someone who sees you to see you white, clean, perfect. You say, God, that's not who I am. I know that. You mess it up, I'll clean it up, but you got to let me come in and do what I do. Now, I got all kind of detergent. You know, we got stuff. You got rubber gloves nowadays. You got that thing you spray in there. It's got a little nozzle that jumps up and catches the inside. I even have a buddy. I won't speak his name. I've known him for over 10 years. If he moves into a house, he will literally take the toilets out if necessary and replace them because he does not like dirty fixtures. And if he isn't going to change it, he will be on his hands and knees with toothbrushes as necessary up in crevices you didn't even know existed. He ain't sitting down on anything. He's not clean. Well, this is going a lot farther than Lord I even thought it was going. So go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And by the way, you know, this kind of stuff for me, you think, oh, he's just up there swinging the hammer and he's all hell-bent on heaven-bent on saying all these things, just punches. You know, this is not fun for me all the time. I know the culture I live in. I know the pushback. I know how things have changed. But you know what? I can't rewrite this stuff. I go back and read it. I go, okay, God, what am I supposed to tell him? It says it right here. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's just jump in here, verse 1. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, he's writing to Christians. We instruct you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. Now look at this. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. Now look, this is where you got to pay attention. You say, well, I don't know what all that meant. Well, then you'll know what this means. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being. I could care less what you think about me. It's not me you're rejecting. I'm just reading you the book. You say, but this is hard. I'm not saying it's not hard. I'm telling you, it's impossible. If you go out there and try to live the Christian life without Christ, you're not going to make it. You've got to say, God, I can't do this. The culture is coming at me a million miles an hour, telling me this is okay, everybody's doing it. And then I read my Bible and says, I don't like that. I don't want to do that, not just because the culture is going a different way, but I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Shut up, God. Leave me alone. So then what do? Then you find yourself doing this. I'm tired of this Bible. I ain't reading my Bible anymore. I don't want to hear this anymore. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then you start avoiding Christian people. I don't want to talk to you anymore because I don't want light shed on my stuff. So I'm going to get away from people who will tell me the truth. And pretty soon you ease off, you ease off. You gradually end up around people who think like you think, do what you do. And this is what is so extraordinary about the mercy of God. It's his kindness, it's his gentleness that leads us to repentance. And slowly but surely, we come to the end of ourselves and go, God, you were right. This doesn't work. Or there's consequence of some kind. A few more lines here. That last verse again. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects these instructions does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you this Holy Spirit. I've said this, you know, people say, is it okay to drink? I'm like, hey, all you gotta do, go to your refrigerator door, open it, grab you a beer out, pop the top, whatever he's doing, say, God, for all you do, this bud's for you, and knock yourself out. You say, well, that sounds crazy. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. That's what the book says. So that applies to whatever you do. So if someone looks at you, finds you doing something, you go, wow, what are you doing? I'm doing something that I believe is glorifying God. That's what I'm doing. Then you're okay, right? Would that change anything you're doing? I don't know. You say, well, it seems like some people can get away with something and some people can get away with something else and can't. It's because we're all at a different place. I don't expect the same thing from a 2-year-old that I do a 20-year-old. And there are certain issues. You may have a certain issue and you're not there yet. But I'm going to tell you something. If you are growing in Christ, you are growing up in Christ. And sooner or later, he addresses these issues. One more. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll read you a few verses there and then one more passage and we're done. And by the way, none of this is intended to harm you in any way. God's not keeping anything bad from you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him up from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth. Now look at this. You get clean by the blood of the Lamb initially. So if you're looking for a great disinfectant to clean your white toilet, get you some blood of the Lamb and squirt it up in that toilet. That'll clean it just like that. You want to get clean? That blood will clean it. And people say, Richard, why do you keep talking about blood and lambs and all this stuff? You know what? It's the craziest story I've ever heard, but it changed my life. I just trust that the Holy Spirit will bring it into your heart and mind. You go, wow, that's the craziest story I've ever heard, but man, I got to get me some of that. But look at this verse 22. How do you purify yourself? Now that you have purified yourselves by what? Obeying the truth. You want to get clean, then begin to obey. And then when you go to God and he says, okay, what are we doing here? This is one of the most amazing questions I ever get. A guy comes to me and he says, man, Richard, I need you to pray with me. I'm trying to decide whether to marry this girl or not. And I say, are you sleeping with her? And he says, well, yeah. I say, and you're asking God to know what his will is? So God's going to go, well, we'll just put this aside and I'll speak to you directly about whether you should marry her or not. Do you think God's like kidding around up there? You go to God and say, God, I'm confused about whether to marry. And why do you think that would be? And he says, let's clean up the mess we got here before we go making a bigger mess. So you stop. You say, Lord, okay, I'm wrong. You're right. This relationship is out of bounds. And you say, well, she's not a believer. Well, now you got another problem. I already read those verses. He's not a believer. Oh, I'm going to convert him. To what? And all these people saying, oh, well, it'll get better when we're married. Let me tell you something. Listen really close. If it ain't very good before you get married, it ain't going to get much better. And what I'm having a nightmare time explaining to younger and older people now is when you cross certain lines, if you physically get involved with someone, you might as well cut your head off because you're not thinking anymore. And so the enemy sucks you into this relationship and you wake up going, wow, we had great, you know, whatever. And here we are. And, you know, who is this person? What are we doing here? What do they believe? What are we going to talk about for the next 10, 20, 30 years? And there's nothing because you got spun around and made a decision upside down. Keep reading. You will not redeem with perishable things like silver and gold. It's the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish. Then verse 22 again, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word that was preached to you. You want to purify your life? Okay, read another verse with me, and then I'm running out of verses. 1 John chapter 1. Some of you know this by heart. Some of you have never seen this in your life, so it'll be a good one. 1 John chapter 1. Jump in here with verse 5 with me. Let's do that. This is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If you walk in the light like he's in the light, you know what will happen? You will have fellowship. You won't avoid strong Christian people. You won't avoid light if you're in the light. You only avoid the light when you're in the dark. Because if you're in the dark and light shows up, you're exposed. You don't want to be exposed. So you get away from those people. If you find yourself pulling away from godly people, you are in trouble. If you're wondering whether you're in trouble, you're in trouble because you're isolating. You're trying to get out of there. I was sitting with Rebecca last night on the couch. Lights were low. That doesn't sound good. But anyhow, she's watching a movie. We're sitting there, and I look over, and I caught the bounce of a light. It's pretty much dark in the room. I caught the bounce of the light from the TV on the back of a roach. I am really good. I'm just saying. I live with four women. If you don't shut those things down, you can have seizures. You know, it's just terrible things. I spot the roach moving across the ground, pick up a magazine, smack it down, make sure it's dead, and sit back down. I think I have to go find that roach now. Now, you know when those roaches come out in your house? In the dark. You know how fast you got to get up to take care of that? Pretty quick, because they're moving. It's hard to pick them up. You say, well, it's getting dark where I am. Lights are going down. I'm doing what I want to do. Get some light on. Get somebody around you. Say, you know what? I'm in trouble. Talk to me. Look at me. What am I doing? Help me. 1 John, go back in there. Let's finish this verse. You have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If you have sin and you say, this is not sin, what are you doing? You're deceiving yourself. You're lying. You're believing a lie. And you say, well, but I don't have a conviction about that. I'm okay with that. You can deceive yourself. But it doesn't mean there's not consequence of that behavior. If a 3-year-old child gets up on the roof of a building and has been watching cartoons about some superhero that can fly, and the 3-year-old child lunges off the edge of the roof and is going to fly like this superhero and lands on the ground and dies, you say, well, that's terrible. The law of gravity does not cease for 3-year-old children who think they can fly. It is what it is. And when God says something, you say, well, I didn't know about that. It still is what it is. You ought to be searching the scriptures and say, God, what am I doing to screw the only life I have up by not being aware of what you're trying to do? So I go, here's my life. I look in the mirror and go, wait a minute. What you say is contradictory to what I say and what I'm doing. So who do you think might be right? But I don't feel like doing what you want me to do, God. He says, well, okay. And? Well, God, change the way I feel, change my desires. That's what Christ does. That's how the Holy Spirit works in you, to sanctify you, to change you, to set you apart. And you say, but God, all my friends, I hear these stories over and over, girls even, they're all going to happy hour. They're all going to the strip club after work. And if I don't go, I'll lose deals. Then lose the deals. Trust God not going to a strip club to meet your needs. You say, well, but it's not just the deal. I kind of like going there. Okay, then have him change that. All right, let's finish this. Then he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple: to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
Go back to my white toilet. I lift the lid and I go, God, we got a problem. I'm supposed to be holy and this doesn't look very holy. What are we going to do? He says, you've already done it. You uncovered your mess. You admitted that it's not right. Now please step back and watch this. And Jesus, the janitor, shows up and will do a number on your little white toilet like you have never seen. And you can't even find any dirt. Now, can you mess it up again? Yeah. Just keep you a brush and some soap close by. Hey, Jesus, I need some help. And as that person in the blog said early on, the best way to keep it clean without having to scrub it hard is just a little bit every day. Good morning, Lord. We got another day. How are we doing? I don't know. How are we doing? Not so good. I went to sleep last night with all that crap from yesterday, didn't I? He said, yeah, are we going to talk about that? Yeah. You're right. I'm wrong. I don't want to lose another day, Lord. I sure do love you. I sure am sorry. And I know that forgiveness is already available. You'll clean this mess up just like that. So please don't let me waste another day trying to prove that my old ways work and your ways don't, because my old ways don't work. They never did and they never will. And you say, well, that's not where I am. You will either die or you will get there, because he's very merciful. He's very kind and he's very patient. It just depends on what your tolerance for pain is and how much life you're willing to eat up being disobedient, and that I'm willing to eat up being disobedient.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.